You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene. We are also part of Empire Media at empiremedia.com. I'm Wole, the homie Ray. Jeezy is out. If I sound a little hoarse, it's because I have a little cold. I'm doing it like Jordan, the flu game. Magic Johnson trying to play in the NBA with HIV. I go hard with it, bro. I go hard with it, folks. But, you know, a little bit of Vicks and whatnot has me running. But let's get right into it, man. Empire Media hosts multiple DMV sports podcast shows, such as the John Kahn Report, hosted by ESPN Washington Commanders insider John Kahn, and Jones Football, hosted by USA Today insider Mike Jones. You can subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and Google Podcasts. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, make sure you subscribe to the Urban Sports Scene YouTube channel as well. Click that red subscribe button and like this video. Don't forget to tweet us at Urban Sports Scene. Hit us up on IG at Urban Sports Scene and like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Also, join our Urban Sports Scene Facebook group. Search Urban Sports Scene, sports bloggers, sports podcasters, and sports debates. Also, check out our weekly NFL picks on the Football Garbage Time website. Just go to www.footballgarbagetime.com. It's part of the Urban Sports Scene Football Garbage Time Pick'em Challenge. All right, Will T would say this. He's not on the show anymore, but I'm going to keep the tradition going. Let's get into our tradition, the pregame. Here's what we have on tap. I'll interview former Washington Redskins cornerback and Super Bowl champion with the Kansas City Chiefs, Bashaud Breeland, about possibly getting back into the league and much more. At 8:25, I'll talk with Sports Journey's Commanders reporter Lake Lewis about the Washington Commanders trading away Chase Young and Montez Sweat. And finally, at 8:45, Locked on Wizards podcast host Brandon Scott will join me to talk about the Wizards. But first, right now, let me introduce our guests. I mentioned them already in the pregame, but I want to, you know, play the highlight reel because I got respect for our guests. You know what I'm saying? Like, as you could tell, my man was a Super Bowl champion with the Kansas City Chiefs. Here he had a pick six against the Chargers when he played for the Washington Redskins. Back then we were called the Redskins. It wasn't the Commanders. You know what I'm saying? So I want to introduce our guy, Bashaud Breeland. What's going on, Bree?
What's up, Wallace?
What is going on? Let me minimize this real quick. Take this off. What's seeing you, my man? How you been, bro?
I've been good. How you?
Good, man. Good. So, you know, first off, man, what you been up to, my man?
Man, chilling, living.
I know that's right.
I guess that's what you want to call it.
I know that's right. So, like, Bree, I talked to you. I want to rap to you. I want folks to, you know, to hear from you and talk to you. So, first off, bro, like, in terms of, like, the league or whatever, have you ever received any calls or whatnot to try and get, you know, teams being interested in you?
Nah, man. I ain't been receiving nothing, no calls or nothing.
Okay.
Nothing like that, nothing. Mm-hmm. In that aspect. As far as ball, that door pretty much closed for real.
Oh, so you don't think, like, how about, you still have the love for the game?
Yeah, I still got love for the game. I still want to play, but
politics,
yeah,
right?
Situation ain't that way. You gotta face reality at some point. I feel you.
So, like, when you got drafted by the Redskins back in 2014, which vets took you under their wing?
I mean, I like Ryan Hatcher was my guy.
Oh wow, the D lineman, right?
Yeah, the D lineman Ryan Hatcher, Junior Gillette, those type of guy, Chicken. Those were my guys that I went to. Was my kind.
So, what were, at your time in the city? What was your most memorable moment playing for the Redskins? Was it the pick six against the Chargers? Because that was like your first pick six. Was it that?
Nah. It wasn't really. It wasn't even a play of mine, to be honest with you.
Okay.
It was just I would say that the victory we had against Tampa Bay.
That was dope.
One of my best times in Washington.
Okay. So, all right. In 2019, I mentioned you're a Super Bowl champ. You won the Super Bowl with the Kansas City Chiefs. What was your favorite time? Was that pretty much your favorite time in the league that year in Kansas City when you won the bowl? Was that your favorite time in the league?
You said favorite time
in the league in general. When you won the Super Bowl in 2019?
Nah, I wouldn't say that.
Okay.
I would say it would have been 2018 going into 2019.
Why is that though? Season. Oh, the Green Bay. Yeah, you ball at Green Bay. Yeah. That's true.
Nah, it wasn't even about the ball. It was just about learning a lot about myself during that time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So would Green Bay be your favorite team? that you played for?
Nah, I wouldn't say that either. It was just the experience that I'm talking about, the experience and the time that I was in my life. Yeah,
yeah.
That was the best time
for me. That's the best time for you?
I feel you.
All right, so in terms of the – you played with some good quarterbacks, man. Who was the best quarterback you played with? Would you say, like, in terms of, like – I mean, you played with Pat Mahomes and you had A-Rod, so I'm just saying, like
– I ain't really get to get A-Rod, Joe.
You didn't get A-Rod?
Nah, I did, but I ain't get A-Rod. It was a lot going on, dude.
Oh, okay. All right.
You feel me? If I had to choose out of the best style of quarterback, I have to go with Patrick Mahomes because I actually experienced, you know what I'm saying, games with Patrick. I experienced games with Aaron Rodgers too, but it was just too much going on to really – it was just a lot going on during that time.
Mm-hmm. So, all right, I know we talked about, like, you know, where you're at now. You're 31, and you're saying like, the NFL ain't really an option right now. But, dude, you still young and whatnot? Like, you still young, bro?
I'm saying it's an option for me, but as far as, like that side of the world,
I got you.
Like, it's like, I don't have no communication with it. You feel me?
Like, yeah. How does that – so, like, is it more like – because, you know, that to me, like, the NFL, once they – like, they did the same thing with Cam. They do with certain players. Like, how does it, like, in terms of ageism or whatnot with the politics of the NFL, like, how hard is it to feel like you're ostracized from the league?
Say that again?
To feel like they're not trying to have you back in the league. Like, you had the same thing with Cam Newton, a bunch of NFL players. You, like, Reed, who used to play for the San Francisco 49ers, like, a bunch of folks who could still play ball, but they don't get the opportunity. Why is that the case?
I don't know. I mean, some things, you know, I can only speak for myself. I can't speak for everybody else.
True.
My mind was so up no. It was more so off the field issues for me. So.
Got you. No, I got you. I got you. So, are you still
myself in the foot as well? So I can't really speak and say like. And
we all make mistakes, man. I'm a believer in life,
you
man.
You feel me? In the capacity that you would want me to speak on, like in the aspect far as the other players, but me, mine was different. I can't really tell you why I'm not playing. I'm fully healthy, ready to go, like and capable of playing, but.
Mm-hmm.
I do gotta look myself in the mirror too and say, God damn, yeah, I made bonehead decisions too and made mistakes too. So it's like I can't really say like whether somebody holding me back or I held myself back
But that also shows humility that you can admit that. You know what I'm saying? That shows maturity and humility. So I feel like, you know, anybody who paying attention to this, they can see that you humble enough to say like I shot myself in the foot.
I know a lot of people want me to still be think I still should be playing. Like you feel me?
Yeah.
I feel like I still should be playing, but you know what I mean? Some things happened and transpired that we couldn't come back from, I guess.
Yeah, I mean I see it all the time. Anytime I post something about you be on the show, bro, like folks would be like, it don't even matter. It could be Kansas City, it could be like Minnesota, here in DC. Folks be like, man, Bree was one of my favorite players. Like, I want him back on our squad. So, it's wild.
I can go right now today, though. Like, you pick me up right now today, I can go.
Yeah. So, do you still work out? Like, you work out often in terms of, like, training for the
league? I'm always in shape, man.
My man.
I'm always being well. I'm not going to say I can go play, like right away, but I'm always in shape. I'm always in ball, football, easy for real.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about just mixing with the people.
Facts. So watching, you know, the league or whatever, which team do you feel like fits you the best? Like, you looking at it like, you know what? I can rock with that squad. Because at first I was like, I was watching the game and Buffalo had a bunch of folks go down. I was like, you would be all right in Buffalo. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was like.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it seemed like I had multiple opportunities to go to Buffalo. It just never worked out.
Oh, worse. So you did have opportunities to go to Buffalo.
Nah, I was talking about
back then.
I had workouts for him and this and that and third, but it never worked out during that time. Right? It's like Buffalo good. I like their defense. I like their style of play. You know what I mean? I feel like I can fit, knowing myself, I feel like I can fit in any style of defense.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all about mixing with the players like and the different type of coaches. That's all of would be my issue and what would make a situation comfortable for me and for me to maximize my situation.
What's your favorite style of defense to play in?
Me?
Yeah. Like your favorite style to DB? Like, was it, would it be straight man, two man?
Nah, I like man. But right. I like to mix it up too. I ain't just a man corner. You know, even older, you start understanding football. Like, it ain't all about the man to man coverage. Mm-hmm. It's just different schemes. Like, it's all about the scheme built for you. If they're going to set it for you, or they're going to make you be like somebody else.
What, so I'll name this, like, in terms of like the coaches you play for, who was your favorite coach? Would it be like an Andy Reid?
Head coach wise, yeah.
Really? Okay. What makes Andy Reid so much different from other people? I'm really
one
interested
of my favorite
in that.
Coaches is Raheem Morris, though.
Okay, so why? Why? I mean, a lot of people talk heavy about Raheem. How, why? What makes him so good?
I don't know, bro.
Is he real? Is he a real one? That's why? Yeah. He a real one?
To me, in the time that I spent with him, he was a real dude.
Mm-hmm. He shoot it straight to you. He shoot it straight to you.
Yeah.
Okay, that's why. Okay, because I saw him on a pivot, and folks like they talked about Raheem Morris. Like, All right, he one of them. Like, he one of them. I was like, all right, well, that's cool.
Yeah, he was one of my time, my rookie year in DC. Like,
that's why he was here.
Good though, memorable.
Yeah, he was here. Yeah, that's right.
Coach. My rookie year.
So if you had a message to send it, like if you had a message to NFL executives, right, to say like why you should be in the league for real, what would your message be to them?
I don't know. It's hard to say. Because I'm at a point in my life, like it is what it is for me. Mm-hmm. Like at this point, like, there's no chasing. Like,
okay.
Like that, you feel me? It's like if we can come to an agreement and we, you know what I'm saying, do something in a league for me to play again. Like, I do that, but it's like, it's not, I'm not in the moment of pleading my why I should be in the league. We all know
what time
why
it is.
Why I should be in the league. We know how I play. We know my style. We know my game. You know what I bring to the game. Like so it's like, that is not the issue at hand. Like, it's like, and I'll never be able to really like getting the truth on situations or different things to try to change their opinion, and I'm just not that type of person to stress to do so. So you never really get to that point. A sit down conversation with it and have a conversation with me, understand me. So it'll never
will be that way.
Never be that way. You feel me?
So yeah, like, I feel
it is what it is.
Would you consider playing? Because you know I've seen Swearingen, DJ Swearingen played at like USFL or XFL? I think the XFL. Would you consider playing XFL? Would you consider doing that?
Yeah, I went to the Super Bowl game twice. I played in the Super Bowl. Like, no disrespect to that league. Like you feel me? I would play, but I never played in the highest of the highest. It's like,
yeah, I got
if
you.
I'm not doing that, it's like, it's not.
It's not worth it. Like, I played the highest level. Yeah, I feel you.
Yeah, the game not even worth it for me.
Okay. Now, I respect that. Well, Bree, man, I appreciate you, my man, as always, dude. You always show love, man. You always try to jump on the show, so I appreciate you, homie.
You already know, man. You know what I'm saying? It's just, like, when it comes to this game, man, we already know how it is. And it's like, our time come and go.
That's true.
It's just my time have come and it has gone.
Yeah, but don't – also, I do want you – I mean, as you know, and I don't want to, like – I'm just – you know, I like to give folks their flowers, bro, like – Your career has been uber successful. Like,
you're a
Super Bowl champion.
I didn't really get to my.
Yeah, I know your prime.
Come on, like, they came before. Yeah. It came to a halt, but it's just like everything got a cause and effect. Like,
true.
Ain't no tripping, no sweating on that.
Yeah, true. But I just, look, dude, nobody, a lot of folks don't win bowls. And you were cornerback one. Not two, you was cornerback one, and you had a pick in a bowl. Like a lot of people don't get that type of shine. You know what I'm saying? So, like in the end of the day, like dog, you got folks who they call them, and they only achieve what you achieve. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just saying, like at the end of the day, like you accomplished a lot. Like you said,
I still would like to play. Like you feel me? Like I never wanted to stop playing. It's just that's what it has come to. And it's like I'm at a point where it's like we don't chase false hope. Like,
yeah, I got you.
It don't seem like there's no hope in the aspect. So it's like we just gonna live life.
Nah, it's all you can do is live life. I do want to ask you one thing, because I don't know if you pay attention to stuff in the DMV or like the Commanders. You've heard what happened with Montez and Chase Young. I guess them being traded away from Washington. What's your thought on that?
Both of them got traded.
Both of them got traded, bro. What Chase got traded for a third and basically a compensation third. So it was like a late first, it's like a fourth for real. And Montez got traded for a second rounder. So I guess I want to get you because I know we had you on earlier for
y'all, our y'all other be building though, but it's like they couldn't choose. It was y'all was gonna make it hard for them to choose one. Y'all was divided.
Yeah, but I do want to get your opinion.
Instead of getting rid of one, we get rid of both of them. True. So we won't upset nobody.
I do want to get your opinion on this, because this is like my issue when folks get traded. Like when you underachieve, like I feel like the players pay for that. When it really was the coach's fault that these dudes underachieved, like the defense as a whole, they had won games, these dudes wouldn't be traded because they actually had they're having decent seasons. But they get traded because the coach is on the hot seat, new ownership, and they started the season 3-5. So you gotta the look is okay, these dudes don't have a contract at the end of the season. We gotta trade them. If they was winning, they wouldn't be traded.
You said say that again?
If they was winning, they wouldn't be traded. Cause they 3-5, but they was winning,
sweep everything under the rug.
So I'm like, don't you blame the coaches not the players? Don't you blame the coaches not the players?
Huh?
Don't you blame the coaches and not the players? Cause it ain't the players' fault. They balling. They did their job.
But I can't speak on that.
I got you. No, I got you. Hey, Bree, man. Thanks for being on, homie. I appreciate you, my man. All right, man. You already know what time it is, bro. All right, man. Oh, man. My God, Bashad Bree. A cool dude, bro. Cooler than the other side of the pillow, man. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, man. I want Bree to get another opportunity in the league, man. He's a dope dude. We all make mistakes. I think we tend to get on this, like, our high horse and think, like, all right, folks, you know what I'm saying, when you're young, you make mistakes. They act like folks can't make mistakes. Folks can't live and learn from a situation. But Bree, just as you can hear, like, he a good dude. And he's humble enough to know, like, you know, it was on him. Like, that's a dope mentality to know that it was on you. You were the one, you felt like you messed up in that situation. And he still want to play ball. You know what I'm saying? Again, a Super Bowl champion, 31 years old, ain't old. Is able to play football. I would love to see that dude in the league. You're getting the opportunity to do what he do, for real. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So shout out to Bashad Breeland. Y'all, I am like getting it right now. I am so tired. But what I want to talk about while I'm waiting on my next guest, Lake Lewis. I have like a whole 10 minutes was up though. I want to talk about the Commanders though. I do want to talk about that. And I'll give you my point of view before we get Lake on the show. As you all know, the Commanders, they fell to the Eagles 38-31 last Sunday, which resulted pretty much in Chase Young and Montez Sweat defensive ends being traded. And my issue with it is, like, I understand trying to get compensation for Montez and Chase. I get it, because their contract is kind of died, you know, their contract situation. But excuse me, but to me, I feel like the players are being punished for Ron Rivera not underachieving, to be honest with you. Like, if Ron Rivera did what he was supposed to do and made this team competitive, didn't fall to the Chicago Bears, didn't fall to the New York Giants, abysmal teams, forget the teams that the Eagles games, because that's a tough opponent. Forget those teams. But if he won the games he was supposed to win, I believe that Chase Young and Montez Sweat would still be playing for the Washington Commanders. You know, and a lot of people want to say, oh man, like they don't need They don't need Chase and Montez, right? But they're still talented individuals, and I feel like they make your team better. Like, when you're that talented, they make your team better. And as the season goes on, you see better competition. You're going to want a Chase Young and Montez. Well, if you're trying to go to the postseason and contending for the postseason. So my opinion on that situation is that I would have wanted to see them stay, but I get it though. Like, I don't want to act like I don't get it. Like, I get it. Like, those dudes should have been traded in the aspect of the way the season went. I don't blame Josh Harris. I think Josh Harris made the right decision. You know, I think they should have been traded. Because this team doesn't look like they're going to be able to go to the postseason. So, and if a player is going to walk, then you trade them, right? I thought that they would keep one of the two, but I can get it. Like, I get it. You get a second and a third. But at the end of the day, I just feel like the players, Chase and Montez, suffer for Ron Rivera and Jack Del Rio not doing what they needed to do. Like, if the season started today, if someone had told you, all right, man, Washington's gonna give you a bunch of 30, a couple of 30 point games, some 20 point games, and with a rookie quarterback, with that defense, you would say, we're gonna have a good record. We're gonna have a solid record within the first 8 games. You would say that. Like, you wouldn't say, like, the way this offense has been, it's been better than Scott Turner. So you're gonna say, yeah, we should be better than 3-5. Maybe we're 5-3, right? You're gonna say we're 5-3. The offense hasn't been the big problem. It's been the defense. Right, it's been the defense and the way they call plays or whatnot. To me, the way they call plays and not adjusted. Dude, we saw Emmanuel Forbes, bro, on AJ Brown again. Like, we saw that. We ain't need to see that no more. We saw that. So, in my opinion, looking at Coach Rivera, I just feel like he hasn't had his team prepared this season, and now players like Montez and Chase Young have to suffer. I mean, Chase has been up there in the league in pressures. Montez is up there in pressures. These dudes have been productive at what they did, at what they've done in Washington as defensive ends. So I personally would like to, I would have liked for this team to win so they can keep them, but I understand, right? I understand. I get it, but it ain't, I feel like Ron is getting off scot-free. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he should have been the first dude, and we're going to talk about this with Lake when we get Lake on, but he should have been the first dude that was out of here. You know what I'm saying? Like, he should have been – let me text Lake, too, matter of fact. Sorry, y'all. Like, he should have been the first dude that was out of here. Easily. Like, it shouldn't have been – Montez, it shouldn't have been Chase first. If Ron was the first dude fired, like the first dude out of here, I would have took that. Like, I feel like Chase and Montez shouldn't have been the first two out. Like, it should have been Ron fired, and now we're trading Chase and Montez. I would have accepted. I would have accepted that. But it didn't happen that way. Montez is gone, and It's Montez and Chase are gone, and it sucks. Oh, and on the flip side, I do want to talk about something else too. While I'm like bantering, I want to say RIP to Bobby Knight, man. Bobby Knight passed today. I got the alert. I'm gonna miss Bobby Knight. I know that's not PC, right, to miss Bobby Knight, but I just think Bobby Knight was one of them, like those aggressive coaches. I know a lot of people be like, oh man, if Bobby Knight had touched me like that in terms of like aggression, like strangling people or, you know, whatnot. He ain't strangled nobody. Y'all a little bit over. Y'all just a little soft. I would say good big ups to Bobby Knight, one of the best coaches, college coaches to ever do it. He had to leave. He actually had to retire quite in coaching early because of the Bobby Knight stuff in terms of how mean and abusive the Bobby Knight was. I mean, whatever. I think we're in a soft generation. But Bobby Knight, big ups to Bobby Knight. You know what I mean? Prayers up to his family. You know what I mean? I just think Bobby Knight is one of the guys that, you know, he made Indiana basketball important. I believe he went to Texas Tech after Indiana and made that program half decent. Bobby Knight is one of the best coaches, you know, and also he was cool with my man, Big John, John Thompson. You know what I'm saying? Like, those are hard coaches that are tough at what they do. So excuse me, big up to Bobby Knight. Rest in peace, rest in paradise. I wish I had a Bobby Knight story. I'm trying to think of one. I don't have a big Bob. I'm a Big East dude, so I don't have a big Bobby Knight story. All I remember is Bobby Knight used to throw the chairs in the middle of the floor. I thought that was pretty cool. I'm gonna lie to y'all. I thought that was pretty cool. Like, I like mean coaches, though. Like, I can't speak for you all, but I like mean coaches. I think it's good to have a mean coach. Shows personality. A lot of y'all like are too soft. This generation is very, very soft. It could be better. And so that. So in terms of now, what else? I'm still waiting on Lake, and I'm ranting right now, but it's okay. Yeah, let's go back to the Commanders talk. Also, I don't like. I'm going back to Chase. I don't like, and I've said this before on X, I don't like the narrative that is portrayed with Chase. Like the local market and the local media, how they talk about Chase. It's really annoying. Because there's players that I felt like in this area who've played and who's been good, and no knock on them, but they've done similar things to Chase that Chase Young has done in terms of you're not being disciplined, over pursuing, not working in unison with their defensive line. One of them had a bunch of sacks that folks love. I used to see it all the time on read option plays. So I just feel like people tend to overanalyze a defensive end. Some of y'all who haven't played the sport or haven't played a sport, like, y'all overanalyze it. I think it's kind of hilarious. Like, you think you know what you're talking about, but you really don't. And I would argue to say that you should play that position or play the sport or play the position, not even at a high level, just to see if you can really do what you preach. You know what I mean? So I just feel like a lot of folks, and I've seen pictures of these individuals. I've seen some of these individuals on the radio that look like they never played a sport in their lives, and they dissect these dudes like they know that they can do what they do, or have the mental makeup to do that on a dime when you're playing that sport. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's hard. It's one thing to play a sport, but it also is to have that quick trigger in your brain. Like, oh, I got to do this right here and do it fast, right? Without slowing yourself down and being in a rhythm. So I just think that a lot of folks, sometimes y'all just talk out your ass, and it's like, y'all don't even know what you're talking about. You know what I mean? But again, if you like somebody, you go with a narrative. If you don't like somebody, you go with another narrative. That's what I've learned about some of the folks who are even content creators, radio station folks, whatever. When they talk, when they like somebody, they go all in. If they don't, they go all in a different route, like all in on a negative route. So I don't want to call any names out, so I'm trying to be real nice and being professional. But some of y'all need to stop. Like, y'all need to really stop, because you can see it. Like, you can see the hate, and the hate is annoying. Like, just appreciate the sport, appreciate the player, and it's all good. You know what I mean? It's all good. So, like, that Chase stuff, and I'm gonna talk about it in detail when I get Lake on the show. But it needs to stop. Like, you had that man father call the radio station. That's how bad you know we need to stop. That man father called the radio station to talk about why a radio station is talking sideways about his son. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's when you know, like, all right, y'all taking it to a different level. Because I think criticism is respected if it's consistent. Like, if it's consistent, or like if it's consistent on other elements, not just one person. It's fair. Like, if you're consistent, if you tend to omit one person making mistakes, but like to harp on one person, then we know there's a grudge or you have your own motive. But yeah, if you continue to do that with Chase Young, and now he's out of here. So I wonder who you're going to choose. Who's the next person going to be? I'm kind of hearing it with EB. And I'm like, all right, this man has improved your defense, and I mean your offense, excuse me, has improved your offense, and people are still talking sideways about talking sideways about EB. Some of y'all need to stop. It's not cool. It ain't respectable. I just need y'all to keep it all the way 100 and just say what you are. If you don't like the dude, just say you don't like the dude. For real. If you don't like EB, just say you don't like EB too. Because some of y'all, like I hearing folks saying, like, this offense ain't good. I'm like, bro, did y'all have Scott Turner? Y'all seen what time it is with Scott Turner? This offense ain't good. You've had Scott Turner. This offense is way better than what you've had before. I need y'all to show respect. Like, EB, he's one of them. He's definitely one of them. Right now, I'm watching the Wizards game too as well. Wizards are down to the Atlanta Hawks, 50-59. So, to give you a brief update, but yeah, I guess we could talk about while we're waiting on Lake. We could talk about the Patriots game. We could talk about the Patriots game while I'm waiting on Lake before we talk about Chase and Montez for real. If you're tuning out, I want to get y'all opinions. If Washington gets blown out by the Patriots, do you think Ron loses his job? I think that's a fair question to ask. Like, if he is blown out by the Patriots, do you think Ron loses his job? Because I'm on the side of thinking, like, if Washington gets blown out by the Patriots, Ron may not be the coach of the Washington Commanders anymore. We've already seen what's happened with the Raiders with Josh McDaniels. We got Lake. All right, he's coming in now. All right, yes, Lake's about to come in. What happened with Josh McDaniels? And Josh McDaniels got fired by the Raiders last night, or maybe early this morning for real. And he should never have a head coaching job ever in life. That's one. That's nepotism at its finest. Like, Tom Brady's gotten you a job, Bill Belichick's gotten you a job, and you continue to get jobs. And folks keep saying Eric Bieniemy can't be a head coach. That crap annoys me, right? But it's safe to say, like, if Ron gets blown out against the Patriots, I think, you know, EB has a good opportunity to be the head coach or interim head coach, or maybe they'll give it to Jack Del Rio. Hopefully not, but I think it's an opportunity for EB to be a head coach. I just want to get what your thoughts are. If you're listening, let me know if your thoughts are that, all right, if EB can, if the Commanders get blown out by the Patriots, have a bad outing, would Rivera be fired? I think it's a possibility. I kind of do. I think it's a possibility. I think he can definitely lose his job if that happens. There's a lot on the line for Ron Rivera. Just think there's a lot on the line. That Patriots game, you got Bill Belichick, how he coaches up against a rookie quarterback. This is a rookie quarterback. There's also pressure on Eric Bieniemy, of course. Because you got to scheme up something to make life easy for Sam. And regardless of what the record says, you're going to Foxborough. You're taking on a Bill Belichick team. So, you know, in terms of being detail oriented, typically they're detail oriented. So it should be a difficult game for the Washington Commanders to win. Should be a difficult game for the Commanders to win. But yeah, I feel like it's a situation where there's pressure on Ron. There's definitely pressure on Ron to win that football game. And then you want to see players step up in that game. You want to see a Terry McLaurin step up after, you know, a bad outing, but two drop passes that we all know he's probably biting him. He's probably hitting himself over what happened with those two opportunities to make big grabs against the Philadelphia Eagles, which could have led to a touchdown or who knows, could have led to something special. And I'm sure he's kicking himself for that. And I expect him to go against the Patriots and play well. Also, in terms of, like, even looking into that game, I expect – oh, we got my guy Lake. All right, so we got my man Lake. All right, let me introduce my guest. I know y'all are sick of him be talking because I've been talking for a while, and I usually don't like talking that long, especially when I'm dealing with this cold. I'm like Magic Johnson playing with HIV and whatnot. Like, I'm that thorough. All right, hold on. Right now we have Sports Journeys Washington Commanders reporter. Let me play my man's highlight. Lake Lewis Jr. on the line, on the show, excuse me. Let me welcome Lake in. What is good, Lake? Can you hear me, Lake? I can't hear you though. Hold on. Can Lake hear me? All right. Okay. I can see Lake, but I can't hear. Hello, I think I can hear you now.
Yeah, we good.
All right, my guy Lake. Yeah. All right, we good now. We here. We ready to rock and roll.
My earbuds was picking it up.
Okay, cool. My man. Lake, what's going on, bro? I'm glad to have you on, but I've been waiting to get you on, bro, because this news. All right, let me get into it. I talked about it a little earlier, but the Commanders traded Montez Sweat to the Bears for a 2024 second rounder and Chase Young to the Niners for a third rounder. Did in your opinion, did the Commanders do right for their organization?
You know, I'm gonna have to say yes, don't think that you were getting the value from those players that you were ultimately gonna have to pay.
Yeah.
Now I will be the first to say, if they thought they were going to get, you know, top dollar because that's what the Bosas of the world and some of these other great edge rushers get, they're not them. Yep. And so if that's the case, listen, you know, when I was going out and I said with Natalie and myself on ABC, we were talking after the game, you know, on the postgame show. And I was like, look, they're not trading these two guys. And at the time, it was because we were being told the teams were offering for Montez a third and for Chase maybe a fourth or something. And I was like, no way they're going to do that. Yeah. Even they couldn't be that dumb. But Chicago to offer a second, listen, man, that's a high second round pick.
That's a high second, yeah.
Chicago's not good. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, at that point, I probably would have had to have said, you know what, we might need to do that. But only with the caveat that you were going to have a new coach.
Yeah.
and new front office.
Of course.
So if that's the case, why are they still here?
Look, all right. So my issue has been, and I said this earlier, and we said this when I was talking to you on the phone. I just don't like what it represents. I feel like you're trading two guys who are having, in terms of like analytics and, you know, pressures and whatever, are having good seasons. Chase is ranking up there with some of the elites in the NFL.
As far as pressures,
yeah. Right? Yes.
Yeah. 41 so, on the year.
Huh? 41. On the That's year. A lot. That's a lot, mm-hmm. right? And even some people break down him beating his guy one-on-one consistently, right? So all of that, but you trade those dudes only because it's not because of the play, right? It's not because of the play. You're trading them because of the end all be all of the record. And that's 3-5 and losing piss poor games against the Giants and the Bears. I'll isolate those two games because those two games were supposed to be highly winnable. Like those are games you mark up as, and I know there's no easy wins in the NFL. But if you're going to say those are wins, those two are supposed to be wins for you.
Right.
And you lost those games, which instead of you being 5-3, you're 3-5.
Right.
Going into a game, a stretch where you're going to see teams like the 49ers and so forth. So I understand the ownership team saying, like, you know what, we got to trade some of these players. They ain't going to be here. One ain't definitely going to be here. And the second, and we can probably get value for the other one, right?
Right.
So I get that. Like, I understand that. But I to your point, like, I feel like if it's all in fairness and all in fairness and in fairness, Ron should have been the first one gone. And then you could have traded the other two. I don't like that Ron gets to still stay and say, you know what, I'm coaching. I'm going to coach my team, whatever. I feel like Ron should be gone. We've seen an example happen earlier this morning or late last night with like for Vegas. For Vegas coach McDaniels. We see what happened with McDaniels.
And the GM, by the way.
And the GM. So in my opinion, like, yeah, like he can go. Like he can definitely go.
Yeah, I mean, to me, to be making these type of moves mid-season, normally that's when you do name an interim coach.
Yes.
And I just keep going back to Eric EB saying a lot of fans are like, he hasn't proven that he can call an offense yet. Don't do that. Don't do that. Because that's the one unit on this team that you see improvement. I mean, come on, man. I know the Giants game was bad. It really was bad.
Yeah, it was.
But that was just top to bottom. But you see, they bounce back the following week. Exactly. You just have to be consistent. Mm-hmm. But I think if anybody were to ask, is he developing Sam Howell? Yeah, he's doing a really good job developing.
Yeah, yeah.
So get that man his flowers for that. But this the other thing. You don't know what you have. You got to find out. And this is the best scenario, because if it doesn't work, you cut your losses and you go out and you get new people across the board. But let's just say he galvanizes the team. And I'm not saying the offense starts to look like the Chiefs, but I mean, you just start to see the defense play better and guys play harder, which means it's an embodiment of your coach. Because, I'm taking heat for calling out Ron. But I got a job to do. And my thing is this: Ron Rivera, classy dude, brought a lot of professionalism to this outfit. He truly has. But from an X's and O's standpoint, that ain't it, man. It's just not.
Yeah.
And the only problem I have with the Chase and Montez trades, I think they got really good return for their trades. And I'm okay with, doing it over with some different players, but you better get the right people in to make these picks.
Yes.
That's another thing. But my biggest gripe I have with this is it had the look of making guys out to be scapegoats.
That's my problem.
They're doing it. They truly do. Yes.
Yeah, they're doing that. I mean, you're already hearing you already heard a report on Chase. He wasn't disciplined. And I just don't like it. I think it's nasty work.
I mean, you knew that when you got him from Ohio State.
Yeah.
No offense.
Yeah.
I knew that coming out of Ohio State. He was a bit of a freelancer.
Yeah.
You know? And everybody knew that, but he had raw talent.
Yeah.
So, okay, so you're saying that your coaching methods did not resonate with him in any way, shape, or form to get him to play within the system.
Yep.
Maybe because he didn't believe in what the system was asking him to do. I don't know. I'm not saying I know those answers.
Yeah.
But come on, man, you coach. I've coached. Yeah, we both play college ball. I mean, come on, man. It's not a one-way street here, man.
Yeah.
It's two things that were happening. Maybe Chase was freelancing. Maybe Chase wasn't doing everything they asked him to do. But then on the other side, they're not asking him to do some good things.
Yes.
So it's two things.
Yeah, to me, it's like it's basic to me. It's the basic fundamentals of sports in terms of when you're a coach. Like you said, you knew what you drafted. Like, you know who he was, right? And that's when you coach and tailor your game plan to help him out. Like, what I mean by that is, like, let him to a point where he can go hunt rather than worry about okay, he isn't staying in his lane. Right. He's not staying disciplined in his pass, in terms of his pass rush. Then work on something to make sure he can go at it. Like, Marty Schottenheimer did that with LeVar.
He sure did. Yeah,
him and his unit did it with LeVar. You can do it. Like, And to me, I feel like, and I could be wrong, but this is my opinion. I feel like this regime, in terms of the, we'll use Jack Del Rio because he's the defensive coordinator. Like, their defense is more predicated on inside guys getting pressure than the outside guys getting pressure. Like, they're more cool with the inside guys rushing up the field to get pressure. Typically, when you're watching on any front four, your premier guys are your edges. Here, they want to highlight their tackles. It's cool. I'm not. These are good tackles. They are great tackles. But I feel like they just want workhorse men, not stud players on the ends. Because the ends are always, if you have a super talented end, they're going to do whatever it takes to get pressure on the quarterback. They're not going to say, "Hey, I have to stay in my lane." No, I can get to the quarterback this way. Say, you think Micah Parsons is worried about fits? Or
see, that's the other thing too.
Yeah.
You know, speaking of a Micah Parsons, I'm not going to do it to you tonight. I'm not going to say we are, but I mean, look at how they use him.
That's what I'm saying.
They put him everywhere.
They
maneuver him and put him and hide him. And listen, they don't do that with this defense here.
Yeah.
It's you know where they're lining up. You know where exactly where they're going to be on the field. If I know that and you know that and most of the fans out there watching know that, Don't you think the other coordinators are going to know that?
Exactly.
So I'm just saying, you know, I just really feel like the scheme, you know, some people can say, well, it was working last year, blah, blah, blah. Okay, well, this is the other thing I have. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you have the right guys out on the field at the right times. And yep. I'm going to say this, and I don't care how it's taken. A couple years back, you had Jeremy Reeves and Cam Curl. That's your safeties. And it was good. Working.
It was working.
For whatever reason, they felt like they needed to go out and make a bigger splash or whatever. But all I'm saying is sometimes you can see something that's working. Why tamper with it? Mm-hmm. Oh, but it's to show everybody you're the smartest people in the rooms. And nobody cares about that stuff no more because we know you're not because we see what the teams are doing on Sundays. Mm-hmm. So all I'm saying is, just put guys in the right positions. Let guys play to their strengths. Why are you putting this kid, Kendall? I was going to say Kendall Fuller. He's not a kid.
Yeah.
Why are you going to put Emmanuel Forbes out there on A.J. Brown again? And he just got roasted a couple weeks ago. That's not saying that he will never be able to cover A.J. Brown. We're just saying in 2023, that may not look right now for him. Yeah. And you put him out on the island in the red zone of all places. It's just not a good look, man. And again, they're going to say, guys got to do their job. They're going to hang a sign up over the locker room. Guys got to do your job. To me, you know me, man. Mm-hmm. Former guy, former players, man. We're going to side with the players all day.
Oh, yeah. It's going to side with players all day, every day.
It's just the way I'm wired.
Yeah.
And I don't want my coaches talking to me like that because that's like incriminating my play.
Yeah, it's condescending. Saying,
what
it's
are
condescending.
You doing, though? Yeah. Like, because, you know, you the main man. I can't rebuke what you're telling me, but mm-hmm. you're not putting me in good spots. And that needs to be addressed. It absolutely has to be addressed.
Yeah. So I'm going to ask you this. This is the last question I'm going to ask you before I let you go. How would you – all right, so if this team gets blown out by the Patriots, does Ron lose his job ASAP?
No. Okay. I'm going to tell you what I think the scenario could be. In order for Ron Rivera to lose his job in season, I think what would have to happen is you'd have to lose Sunday against the Patriots in New England and Foxborough. Right. And then you have to travel out to Seattle the next week and lose in Seattle. And then you might be able to make Bieniemy your interim coach because you have a bye. And the next game after that bye is at home against the Giants. You don't want to put him in the fray against a playoff caliber team like Seattle on the road. Nah, you would hold on to Ron. But if they lose these next two games, it's going to be interesting as far as with that bye coming, what's going to happen.
The only reason I say that is why. The only reason I kind of think he could is because it's the same discussion. It can't get any worse.
No, it can't.
That's
why. But you don't want to. You don't want to put somebody who's never been a head coach in a position where it starts off at worst. You know,
I
kind of want to give them a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel.
No, I get you.
So you do it at home. You do it at home after 2 weeks, and you got 2 weeks of preparation of your game plan as a coach, and see what happens.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you. I agree with you. I want you to know I do agree with you. Okay. I'm just like when you see like the presser after the Eagles game about not challenging, I'm thinking in my mind is like, dude, you so far behind as a coach right now that EB could just already rock that better than you can. Like that's my mindset is like
the thing is we're in the press box like this, man, because every player on the sidelines was
I know. That's what
so
I'm
there
saying.
Has to be somebody that can call down and say, "Coach, throw your flag out." But it's nothing, and that play was critical, man.
Critical.
It was a critical moment in the game. It's I don't know, man. You know, again, I'm not trying to bash Ron. He's done some great stuff here. He really has.
No, I'm bashing for
X's
him.
And O's. It's not there. It's just not. Yeah. And there are some gaps, man. That make you wonder, has things passed them by? You know, you do wonder that.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, Lake, before I let you go, how can folks catch you on social media and catch your content anywhere, bro?
Well, you know, you can go on social media, on Twitter at, or X now, you know.
I know,
and, right, Lake Lewis. And, IG, really pushing up my IG quite a bit now, so you can go there, get a little bit more in-depth.
I see the model pictures. You got it. Go ahead, bro.
Yeah, you know. Hey, man, I was asked to do that for my opportunities.
Oh, I see you, bro. I see you.
Definitely go to the IG at Lake Lewis Jr. Same thing on Facebook for the old heads like me. Yeah. I talk to all my old grade school friends on Facebook. So you can do that. And then of course you can go to sportsjourney.com, myself and a lot of really great talented people doing some good stuff. And then, you know, sometimes you check me out on ABC, WJLA is the team insider and you know, with Scott and my girl Natalie on there. So yeah, man. Yeah,
and what about Mondays? You still doing stuff on Mondays, right?
Well, Monday, I should be finding out tomorrow for this Monday at Hard Rock, right? Hard Rock Cafe, and got a big guest, man, big guest. So we just gotta lock it up by tomorrow. But I think it's gonna go down, and you'll love the guest for sure.
All right, so you hear it, folks. Monday, Hard Rock, DC. Y'all know what time it is. All right, Lake man. Appreciate you, my man.
All right, man. We gotta get that tequila.
Shots. Let's go. Let's go. You speaking my language?
Still like, burning from that.
Hey, yo, you speaking my language? You speaking my language?
All right, my friend.
Appreciate you, bro. Definitely do. Hey, Lake Lewis, man. Lake is an amazing person, man. I hope Lake is. Well, I kind of want Rivera jog. I want him gone. I ain't gonna lie to y'all. I want him gone ASAP. If they get blown out, I want him out. Like out now. Like right now. All right, man. It's time to talk Wizards basketball. Let me introduce our next guest. Out, and I'm gonna play his clip. Yes, you can see right here. My next guest is the host of Lock On Wizards podcast. I want to introduce to you my man, Brandon Scott. What's going on, Brandon, man?
What's good with you, man? How you doing?
I'm good, man. And welcome to the Urban Sports Scene, bro. Like this, I'm boosted to have you, man. Have you on, man? I want to chop up the Wizards. You know, I just started like this season going to games and covering, and I saw your pod. I was like, man, I want to chop it up because I have thoughts about this squad. I have a bunch of thoughts about this squad. So far for you, and like this tonight, they're down to the Hawks. They're in the ATL. Then they've been pretty competitive compared to what they were against the Celtics. What are your thoughts? Well, first off, before I do all that, tell our listeners about your podcast.
Oh, Locked On Wizards, man. Excuse me, man. My voice is coming back. I was yelling at them Eagles fans on FedEx, man, on Sunday.
Oh, so you did too? Okay, so that's stressful. Go ahead.
No, man, Locked On Wizards, man. Me and my co-host, the real Ed Oliver, he covers Commanders content too, man. You know, we have a good ball, man. You know, obviously, it's kind of different for us this year, man, because we're going from an era where it was, you know, Bradley Beal era is kind of ending to a whole new faces, man. You know, for the longest, we saw, you know, John Wall, Bradley Beal. Now, whole new faces. You know, Jordan Poole, Kyle Kuzma taking the lead. So, yeah, it's interesting, man.
So, in terms of, like, so how can folks catch your pod? Like, where is it, like, going? Yeah.
Oh,
how can you catch your pod?
Wherever you get your podcast, man, we're available anywhere, you know, iTunes, anywhere you get your podcast. But on YouTube, man, if you want to see our, you know, our faces, man, you definitely see us on YouTube.
Oh, bet. All right, so let's talk about this Wizards squad. Okay, so you mentioned, well, since you went that way with Bradley Beal, were you the biggest Bradley, because I wasn't the biggest Bradley Beal supporter. Were you a big Bradley Beal supporter?
Man, I gave Brad Beal a lot of smoke last year. as a backcourt mate with John Wall, love Brad, man.
But got you. I agree.
Never a believer of him being the guy, you know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. And to me, trying to make him the guy year in and year out, to me, just wasted so many years. Where we could have started a rebuild 3 years ago, but every year is like, no, it's going to be different. You know, he's not going to dribble the ball off his foot this year. I mean, you know, so it's, you know, it's sad to see him, the Bradley Beal era, end the way it was, but you can kind of foresee it when it started because he was never that guy.
Yeah.
Especially not that guy to give a supermax to. So,
yeah, I always felt they did John Wall dirty, but that's a whole different conversation.
Oh, yeah, I'm with you.
I just feel like if you're going to supplant John Wall, wait for somebody after Bradley Beal. I feel like because this team, regardless of whatever your opinions of John Wall, this team is way more competitive with John Wall running the ship, to be honest with you. So, Well, let's get into like this new age Wizards team, because it's like it's interesting because it's fresh, but in terms of everything you learn about basketball, it's weird. It's a weird brand of basketball. So I want to get your thoughts. What is your thoughts within the first three games of this season so far? Well, now four, looking at this game right now. What are your thoughts on the tandem of Jordan Poole and Kyle Kuzma?
I mean, as far as entertainment value, they're going to be entertaining to watch.
Yeah.
But then you know they're going to have those off games too.
Yeah.
You know, because efficiency obviously is not the name of the game with either one of them. They're going to get the shots up. Jordan Poole's going to have a little bit of maturity. You know, looking at him, you know, the trying to be fancy and getting blocked, you know, you don't see a lot of that. But, you know, looking at, you know, him coming over from Golden State, you know, with the whole Draymond Green thing, he could have clapped back. He didn't. He let it go. You know, he kind of let people, you know what I'm saying? I mean.
I don't think he wanted
Yeah, I don't know if he wanted that smoke, man. You know?
I don't think. It's just because that. And no, not. To your point, I do think he's showing some class. I don't want to act like, act ignorant. But I don't think he. That video messed. Yeah, that video is damning. It's just damning. That's all. It's just damning. I get like, yeah, it's just damning. It's the video that it was with damning. But go ahead, man. I'm sorry I cut you off. Go ahead.
No, no, you're good, man. I mean, he definitely hit a nerve. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I think he was ready to get on that plane and go to DC, man. But, yeah. Nah, I mean, it's going to be it's a learning process, man, because you can't really call this year one of the rebuild because, you know, you got a mix of a roster where you have young guys trying to get that playing time as opposed to veteran guys on expiring deals who want to get exposed so they can get moved at the deadline. Mm-hmm. So we always say on the cast, man, it's kind of like, you know, BC and AD. It was kind of like before the deadline, after the deadline. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to see a different lineup after the deadline. You're going to see, you know, Bilal get more minutes. Where does Johnny really fit? So, you know, is Tyus, is he going to be the guy at point going forward? Because a lot of people are calling for Jordan Poole to be that guy, but, you know, with the turnovers, the inefficiency, he ain't there yet. So there's a lot of questions, man.
I like Bilal. I do like Bilal. I think it's going to be, and I had this conversation with my co-host who's out, but it's going to be interesting to see how Bilal can grow with Kuzma and Poole on the roster. Because it reminds me of, like, I'm old enough to remember, it reminds me of when LeBron came to Cleveland the first time.
Yeah.
I mean, when as a rookie, that's the first time, as a rookie. And Ricky Davis was on the squad. And Ricky Davis ain't care about LeBron. He didn't care if you was anointed him. He didn't care. Like, he was like, I'm going to get my shots. I don't care who you are. And they traded him away. And Ricky Davis averaged over 20. You know, they traded him away. So, and Ricky Davis a junk shooter. Like, there was no shot that Ricky Davis ain't like. You know what I mean? There was no shot he ain't like. And it reminds me of this situation where you got Bilal, who I do think he plays the right way. He's not a gunner. He plays the right way. He plays defense. He's still trying to find his way in the league in terms of off his offensive game. And so I'm interested to see, like, in the long run, like, to your point, in the long run, is Bilal with Kuzma and Poole something that they can work with, or is it something that eventually they're gonna build equity into those two to a point where they can trade them?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question, man. I think Kyle Kuzma, if you look at the contract, was definitely a contract that was geared up to be an asset to trade eventually. Mm-hmm. Eventually. You know, if you look at Jordan Poole, I think they're at the process where they're kind of filling them out, see if it could be that piece, part of the foundation going forward. But, you know, they may be trying to drive his value up. You know what I mean? So, but with Bilal, man, I look, defensively, he's a dog. And we said a long time, we need more dogs in D.C., man.
I agree.
He's definitely a dog in the defensive end. His offensive game is going to come along. I mean, he definitely needs to work on the release of the shot.
I saw that too. Yeah.
He's got to work on it, man. And if you know, I don't know if you know this, man, but he's got to learn to kind of create his own shot. You know, he's kind of dependent on other people's feeding him. So, you know, take a look at him, man. You know, when he gets the ball, especially at the top of the key, he's very hesitant to drive.
I
want him to get kind of that mentality, the scorer's mentality, which will come along. He's a young guy, 18 years old, 19 at this point. His wingspan is 7'3". Yeah. I mean, he's still growing. But it's definitely going to be a long-term project. But I think the fit to look at long-term is how can he fit next to Denny Avia? Because obviously they gave Denny that bag. So
yeah,
it's going to be interesting.
The Denny thing interests me too. Though I will give Denny credit. I feel like Denny has improved on his corner, his three. I think his three ball looks better.
Yeah.
The games I've been to and even today, he looks more accurate in terms of shooting the three ball. I need Denny to be tougher. That's just all. I need Denny to be tougher. I just need Denny to be a little tougher. Yeah. And I need Denny to, like, I feel like I'm trying to gauge if he really worked on his left hand. Is his left hand better? Because I can't tell. He still always goes right. But I know that's something he, to me, which annoyed the hell out of me, is that he's been in the league for, like, what, 3 years now? His third year or fourth year right now, right?
Yeah.
And his left hand is suspect to me. And he's a ball handler. Yeah. That's what bothers me. But I mean, he's interesting. I'm not a fan of keeping him over Rui. I wasn't a fan of that. But I do get it. Like, I understand, what he brings to the table, because he can defend. Denny can defend. I think that's something fair to say. Denny can defend. He plays with effort. But I do like that, to your point. Bilal and Denny is a good match. It's a good pairing to me. I think it's a really good pairing, honestly. I think if Bilal could take his game to the next level of being a 20-point scorer and a good defender, I mean, he's going to be a good defender. I think that's a guarantee. Him being the defender, that's a guarantee.
Yeah.
Taking his game to the next level as a 20-point scorer, I think once he does that. But even – it's wild because I was doing my research on Bilal prior to the draft, when I was hearing that the Wizards may, draft, and I was doing my research and for the show. I didn't want to act like I didn't know what nothing about this dude, because I don't watch European basketball. I don't. So I'm going to keep it a buck. So I went on YouTube and looked at a lot of games and seeing what he does and what he doesn't do. So what I do like about him, and I think you mentioned, he has a dog. I like that about Lau. He has a dog. But it's wild. That his shot being slow has always been, that's always been a thing.
Yeah.
Like, and and he has gotten, his jumper has gotten better. If you look at him at the age of like 17 or something to now, his shot's gotten better, but it's always been slow. So I wonder, is that something they can fix?
I mean, they're going to have to fix it. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I think his shot will come along, but he's got to put the work in, man. But I mean, looking at Denny, here's the thing with him, because we talked about Kyle Kuzma and his contract, how it was front loaded and it's kind of, team friendly as far as they can move it for assets. Same thing with Denny.
Yeah.
I mean, with this front office, man, they didn't draft him. I think the contract was more for a peace of mind. Same thing with Wes Unseld, man. Look, Wes Unseld, they gave them that option, but he can still get fired, man. True. Like, they gave him peace of mind, but I think everybody on this roster, except for Blau, is playing, if they're playing for a job. Because Daniel Gafford, is he that guy at the five? You know what I mean? And he's going to
like the first.
Yeah, I like Gaff too, man. But he's like just against your bigger bigs, like your Embiids, man. He struggles. And your more athletic guys, man, he just struggles. The foul issues, does he add that next piece to his offensive repertoire? You know what I mean? So there's a lot of questions, man. A lot of people are playing, they're fighting for that contract or to be part of the future. So I don't think anybody's untradeable.
I agree with that. I don't think anybody's untradeable. Other than Bilal, to your point, Bilal's untradeable. Other than Bilal, I think I agree with you. I don't think anybody's untradeable. So back to it though. So like for me, I'm not gonna lie to you. That tandem of Kuzma and Poole, it rubs me the wrong way. All of my basketball, like I coach ball and play ball. Like I sat and watched that. When I watched that Celtics game, I was disgusted. Like I felt like Jordan Poole made basketball a joke on Monday. Like I was watching him and him try and go one on one which against Jrue Holiday. And I'm like, that let me know right now that you're not the guy that they need you to be, because the way you're trying to go at Jrue Holiday is different levels of defense, bro. You can't, that won't work against Jrue. Like you trying to do, like Jrue will strap that 24/7. Like you thinking that thing gonna work, going behind the backs, trying to bring it back to the front, step back, play with the ball a little bit around Jrue, that ain't working. Like, that's a different breed of defense, bro. Like, we all watch ball. Like, we watch ball, somebody play ball. Like, you know that the great scorers, they're setting you up for something. Like, they're setting you up.
Yeah.
Like, what you was doing in that Celtics game wasn't setting up anything. Like, you were just trying to shake them. Like, you weren't doing anything to set something up. Like, it's wild. Like, listening to Kyrie Irving talk about how he practices dribbles to do a counter, because it's like boxing. Like he's trying to find a counter to whatever, how you defend him. Like, because Poole got handled, so I'm not going to say he don't got handled. Like he got handled, but it's like he's just playing with the ball and not making a move. I was not a fan. I ain't gonna lie. I watched that game. I was like, yo, what is this? I don't even know. Like I know the Celtics are good, but the way you're playing ball is like not NBA basketball. Like this is like awesome. No disrespect to to the G League, but Jesus, bro, this is like on something. Like you playing ball like you trying to be in the G League or something. So like the tandem, I will say this, I do feel like, and I cover the team. I'm a Laker fan. I grew up a Laker fan. Like when Matt Johnson, my favorite player of all time. But I will say, like, I've watched Kuz. Like, I've watched Kuzma drafted him. And I will say that there is some maturity with Kuzma. I do feel like he is, like, I do like him in the tandem. If the Wizards wanted to trade, like, if a player had value to a winning team, it'd be Kyle Kuzma. And I wouldn't say that, and it's wild. I wouldn't have said that a year ago. But watching him this year with no Porzingis, with no Bradley Beal, it's like he's taking complete ownership, and I like it. I do like it.
Oh, same here, man. I mean, he's really came into his own in DC. But I mean, comparing the eras, man, it's like, you know, it's like hip hop. I'm a hip hop head, man. Yeah, old school. Yeah, yeah. You know, I grew up a Tribe Called Quest, Gangstar, Rakim. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So there was a time when that was like, you know, there was just some. You had to put some skill into it, man. Like,
yes.
You watch DJ Premier on turntables, man. It's art form. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Where now it's kind of like you got all these little machines where it's like, you know, auto tune and all, you know what I mean?
Yeah, got you.
Back in the day, there was some skill involved, you know, the fundamentals of, you know, pivot foot, you know, that how to actually do a pick and roll. Where now it's more athleticism, you know, everybody likes the dunks. And so now with Stephen Curry, like everybody likes the logo threes. Yeah. So it's just a different time because I coach a little bit too, man. And that's the biggest thing with kids is that every kid wants to be that guy to dunk.
Oh my God.
Nobody knows how to, you know, do a pivot. So, you know what I mean? So it's just, it's a different game now, man.
Everyone wants to jack a three, and then they don't even work on trying to work on their follow through at initially, so they can be able to jack the deep three. They don't know you master your follow through, then you're able to shoot it effortlessly. So it's amazing. I feel like I've had this issue with young kids all the time. I just like, why are you shooting that deep three? What are you doing? Get your ass back down here. I'm always get your ass down here. Shoot this shot. Why are you shooting it? Like, make this. I shoot it real quick. You airball it. Get your ass back down here, bro. I don't have time for that. All right, so I've been high on Tyus Jones. I like Tyus Jones. I think the players seem to love him a lot, to be honest with you. What are your thoughts on him and what he brings to his Wizards team?
Man, Tyus Jones is the man. I mean, because we needed a floor general here in DC for the longest, man. You know, ever since Russ went to LA, they've been trying to turn combo guards into, you know, starting point guards, and it hasn't worked. Spencer Dinwiddie and his mess. Looking at, you know, Monte Morris, which Monte did his job.
He wasn't a real point guard, though. Like, I know you're talking about. Like, he wasn't like, I got you, though. I know you're talking about Monte. Go ahead, though.
I mean, we need a guy who's going to collapse defenses and really utilize shooters. You know what I'm saying?
I agree.
Monte just did. He wasn't it. I mean, he did his job, but, you know. So, Tyus, man, he's a guy who, look, floor general. Guy who knows how to orchestrate an offense, man. So, if he can average 7 to 8, and really utilize a lot of these shooters we have on the perimeter, I don't have any problem with him being here long-term, man. Because is Jordan Poole that guy? Too many turnovers, man. The efficiency, it drives you crazy, man. like you said, that Boston game was like, oh, man.
No, it was basketball at its worst. Like, it was basketball at its worst. And
I feel bad for the people in the Hennessy section, man, because they're going to need some Hennessy. Watch this.
Oh man! Like I'll say, I was in the press box, right? And I was sitting there, and I was like saying to myself, like, "Oh dang!" Like I'm getting ready to write this article about the game, and I'm like, "Well, at least I don't got to write about, but I don't got to write about a lot. It really ain't that hard to write about because they like the Wizards gave me anything to really write about. I'm just writing about the Celtics and Porzingis. I'm writing about what Jalen Brown and Porzingis and Tatum did. Yeah. I'm not even talking about." And if I wrote about the Wizards, it'd be so negative. It'd be negative. It wouldn't be positive. Like Kuzma 21. Okay, 21. What do you do? But everything else, that game was. And I've been to some Wizards. I guess to me, my opinion about, and I feel like I'm always harping on this game, but that game was something else to me. But I've seen them to be blown out is okay. Like I think a team could be blown out. It's the way they were blown out. Like that was my thing. Like that, I don't know. So I text my boy, I was like, that first quarter was like a 16 seed in the NCAA tournament playing a 1 seed. Like, it was that bad. Like, it was really that bad. Like, they couldn't literally, because you said you coach ball. You ever played against a team? I've been there. You played a team that was just 10 times better than you on a U team, like a U team. And the other team was just so much better than you. And they would get steals when they wanted to. Oh, they would score. Like, they press, boom, layup, press, layup. And you'd be like, damn, what happened? Like, but the team was just bigger, better, stronger. Like that, I felt like that's what it was on Monday night. Like the Celtics were bigger, stronger, faster. And it was the point where everything in that first quarter, anything the Wizards did, the Celtics just was like, nah, little brother, we got you. Like, Lalo, bro. Nah, this big brother, we gonna house you right here. Like they even pressed them. Like they ran a press.
Yeah,
I was like, y'all disrespectful. Like y'all real disrespectful right now. A press in the NBA? Nah, they don't do that in the NBA.
Yeah, but what I didn't like, man, was the lack of heart. You know, it's one thing to get blown out if you're putting effort into it. Yeah. But that fourth quarter with 7 minutes left, for West to kind of wave the white flag, it was like, come on, man. That's that. They talk about culture, man, but it's like culture. Point, yeah, you got to create a culture of aggressiveness, man. You always play to win regardless of what your roster's at. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm looking at. West, man, you know, West has got, in my opinion, because there's been reports that, you know, he's been cussed down in the locker room, stuff like that. But, you know, from the fans' perspective, it's like, man, we don't see enough of you digging into these players, man.
On the outside. Especially, it's wild. Yeah, go ahead.
Especially with Jordan Poole, like you gotta be that force in the ear and say, look, you're 0-for-6, bro. Like you need to slow it down a little bit, you know.
All right, that shit is something else. like I was watching him, no, because I was in the presser and I could hear him when he was talking to, like in that salt. And no, actually, it was the win. Actually, this is when I know you could tell there's coach jargon. Nobody wants to throw their players under the bus, but you could tell, like, this in the win. They played Memphis, and then he was saying, like, one of the reporters asked him, yeah, are you, like, you saw Jordan take this wild shot, and, you know, Kuz taking another wild shot, but basically Jordan, it was really Jordan. Jordan taking this wild shot, and they grouped Jordan and Kuz together, said, will you live with these shots? Basically, she was saying, live with these poor shot selections, right? And he was like, yeah, we want to keep them aggressive, but yeah, some of the shots you would want, like basically saying, like you'd want to keep them, like you want them to take better shots, but you don't want to take that away from them. You want them to feel like they can make any shot. In my mind, I was like, that's just coach jargon, bro. You don't want them taking that shit. Excuse my language. Shoot, that's basically what it was. Like you was like, I'm sitting there, I'm like, yeah, I know what you're doing. Like, I know what you're saying for real. Like, so I think that Wes, like for a fan, since you're pointing out to your fans, for the fans on the court, you want him to look at somebody and be like, what are you doing?
Yeah,
like what are you doing? But I do think that he does do it behind the scenes. I think he does it in a respectful way. I feel like that's what I feel like, because I like Wes. Do I think he's the answer here? I'm not sure, but I like him. I like his approach. You know what I mean? I know what he's trying to do. It's a hard situation because this team is trying to rebuild, but they don't really have like a piece to rebuild right now. Like an instant, like they don't have Pablo. Like they don't have an individual like that, right?
Yeah.
Like who could play now? A young dude who can play around and you can see him like taking his team to the next level. Because I think Bilal will be that next season. Like Bilal will be comfortable next season, and you don't have that right now. So yeah, it's tough, man. West is tough. But it's wild. West gonna have to. The NBA's got to show me soon league. So West gonna have to do something. Like he's gonna have to show that his team can win some basketball games.
I mean, you can be aggressive and still shoot high percentage shots.
Like, I agree.
You know what I mean?
Like, I agree.
And that's what I've been kind of looking for. Like, to me, for Jordan Poole and Kyle Kuzma to really reach that next level, they've got to utilize their supporting cast.
I agree.
Because I think the question is, who's your third and fourth scorer? You know, Kispert, you know, some nights he can drop 20. Yeah, he's been playing good, but some nights he's on, some nights he's way off. Yeah. You know, the same thing with Denny. You know, you mentioned his left hand. Haven't seen too much left hand. Three-point shot, he's a lot more aggressive with his three-point shot.
Late.
But, you know, to me, the biggest question with this roster is who is that third and fourth scorer? Who's going to step up when you have those nights where Jordan Poole or Kyle Kuzma have an off night?
I think it should be, like, I think Winston should be more aggressive. I think he plays, I mean, he's the point, but I do think Tyus Jones should be a little bit more aggressive because he has a nice shot. He has a nice flow game. If he can be a aggressive threat offensively, that's gonna open up things to him as a passer. So I feel like he could definitely, to your point, he could be a third scorer for him. I feel you. Like I feel like it should, like to your point about Kispert, I think he can step his game up. It's wild because I actually like Corey Kispert. Like I feel like I'm the minority when I talk about Corey Kispert. Like folks are like, Corey Kispert, he ain't that good. I'm like, I mean, Corey Kispert can shoot. If you sleep on, he'll bang on you. So I like Corey Kispert, but I'm with you though. I do think that he shouldn't be too dependent, because I feel like, you know, he can shoot the ball. Like, he's a good shooter, right? He's a big time shooter. But he shouldn't be too dependent on shooting threes, like, even when he's off. Because I think he can do a lot of other good things. Like, he can drive to the basket on a curl, right? Like, in terms of then somebody finding him driving to the basket, he can finish. He moves great without the basketball. He could use a jump shot to his ability to even drive. You know what I mean? Like, he could use it. I like Kispert a lot. Like, I do think he could be a good six man for this team, a six man scorer. But to your point, though. But you got to feel it. Like, I feel like it's – but even that, right, it's hard when you're coming in the game when you got Kuz and Poole shooting everything. Like, that's why I'm like – it's hard to find a flow, because it's all about getting the flow on you when you're on the court. So, I would like to – but I think Corey would be a good option to be a third scorer. And also – but Tyus and Corey Kispert would probably be the two that I would say. Because Denny – I need Denny. Like, Denny to me, he's like a utility dude. I don't know if he's a scorer. He's a utility dude.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's a utility dude. So real quick, I'm gonna ask you another question real quick before I let you go. Yeah. Talked about some of the flaws. You know, we talked about some of the things we actually like. But in terms of, I know it's early. Again, this is their fourth game. Right now they're down to the Atlanta Hawks 82-99. What would you like to see them improve on?
Man, rebounding, but do we have the personnel for it? You know, and that's the thing. You know, this front office, I love this front office, man. I like the fact that they finally pushed that reset button. They made all the right moves. You know, flipping Bill, a little too late, but, you know, they did the best they could. KP, same thing. But the center position, the lack of depth scares me, because Mike Muscala is a stretch, but rebounding is going to be an issue, man. So to me, look, man, I like Gaff. I'm a big Gaff fan.
I like
I'm just personality, you know, I'm a big fan, man. But is he it as starting center? I don't know. I would like to see them probably make a move for James Wiseman from the Detroit Pistons.
Thank you, bro. You're my guy already. Absolutely. Brandon, we're good friends already, Brandon. We're good friends. We're like right now.
If you could pick up Bagley, I'm not upset at that either. If you can get a reclamation project. But Wiseman's a guy you got to look out
for. Bro, he gets DMP, man.
Yeah,
he don't even touch the floor now. I don't know what Monty doing. They winning though. They winning some games. So I'm not going to knock Monty. DMV. I'm not going to knock Monty. But I don't know. Wiseman don't touch the floor. Like, I would be calling them now. Absolutely. I'm with you. I would be calling them now. I like that one. I like that a lot.
I mean, you start Wiseman and you have Gaff on the bench. Then you have a solid tandem at the center position. You know what I'm saying?
I like it. I like that a lot. I like that a lot. I've been asking for Wiseman. I like, and I know people. I mean, only because I get a nostalgic feeling. I don't know why they ain't draft Bobo or even try to go after Bobo. Yeah. But I feel like that's a player that you're in this rebuild phase, and you're trying to see if you can hit on somebody, and who's young that nobody really kind of wants to kind of put effort into.
Yeah.
Like, when he was out there in the market, I was like, yo. One, I thought they should draft him when he was, you know, when he entered the draft. But two, when he was out there in the market, I was like, yo, just take a flyer on this dude. Like, some of the players you had coming off the bench, I don't think they're better than Bobo. I'm sorry. I just don't. I don't. But the Wiseman thing, you hit that hard. Like, that's the one. The Wiseman one is it. Like, I feel like Wiseman here, and Jordan Poole's played with him, because they both were in Golden State together. Yeah. So they have chemistry. Yeah, I like that one. I like that one a lot, actually. You know what I mean?
I think if you're trying to clear up some of these veteran contracts, like Shamet, look, if the goal is to see what these young guys can do, then you got to free up minutes for Johnny Davis. Because, look, of all people, Johnny Davis has to show what he can do, because this new front office has no loyalty. They didn't draft him. So, and then Shamet's in the way. I mean, where do you play Kispert? They got to kind of rearrange. And that's what I'm saying. You're really not going to see a clear picture of this roster till after the deadline. You know what I'm saying? True. But Wiseman, look, he's young. He fits the timeline, man. And if you could hit on Wiseman, it shortens that rebuild. Then you can look at other areas, man, because Bilal, man, I think he's the future of the small forward. I think develops his offensive game, man, he's going to be a beast on the wing, man.
So. I agree. I totally agree with you. It's going to try to figure out what – yeah, Bilal. Yeah, I agree with you. I think that's definitely a play. Wiseman, Wiseman would be awesome. Wiseman would be the move. It definitely would be the move, though. I just would just who they would have to trade for to get him. You know what I mean? Like, Yeah, I like that one. Actually, I had to think about it. I like that one a lot, actually. That one you hit, like, I feel like, who would you trade, though, to get Wiseman from Detroit?
Oh, man. I mean, that's a good question. Maybe you try to flip Gallo, because Gallo can still score, but he's lost a step, man. I mean, that ACL injury, he's a mummy out there as far as moving around, man. Shamet, everybody needs a shooter.
Yeah, uh-huh. You know, you're right.
Shamet would be a guy. DeLon, maybe you get value for DeLon, because look,
I think he
Rollins looks solid, man. I don't know how you feel about Rollins, but
he had a good summer league. I like Baldwin. I actually like Baldwin. I don't know why.
Yeah, but the thing with Baldwin is that when his shot's not dropping, he's got to find other ways to get involved. You know what I mean? He's too hesitant. When his shot's not dropping, he kind of, you know, races himself in the offense. So
I like that one. All right, so yeah, Champ. Okay. What about Trey? Because I feel like Monty trying to win on the low. I think he's trying to win some games. I feel like maybe, man, Gafford may get you Wiseman.
Hey.
I don't get you Wiseman.
Like I said,
I like Gaff, but I like Wiseman more. You said Wiseman is that's a different. I like the Wiseman. You got me thinking already. You got me thinking. That's what the Wiseman thing got me. I'm like, yeah. Cause I like the Wiseman thing a lot, actually. All right. So before I let you go, man, how can folks, and I know it's redundant, but how can folks check you out on social media, and also how can they check out your content on YouTube and all the podcast platforms?
Yes, sir. Well, you can catch me on X and Instagram as Brandon_7Scott. I actually do Washington Commanders content over at Washington Football Maniacs on YouTube, so definitely check me there. And starting this year, I'm on the PSF, the Pro Sports Fan app. Doing live games, covering the live Wizards games, so definitely check me there. And of course, Locked On Wizards, man, definitely check me there. So I'm trying to stay busy, man. You know,
I know. Hey, before I let you go, then let me ask you: you happy with the trade with Chase and Montez?
Man, the Young was hard, man. I mean, with the second rounder for Sweat, I could see that, man.
You see it, so good, right? Yeah,
that's a good pick.
That's a good pick. It's like a late. It's like basically like a first. It's going to be a late second. I mean, early second.
Yeah, but I'm with you, man. I don't like how after the scene, it's like, oh, he doesn't work hard. You know, it's like
they dirty work. They always do that here. That's what I hate about here. Like, it's always dirty work. It's he don't work hard. He's not disciplined. It's always this. It's always that.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm with the Chase Young move, man. It reminds me of Trent Williams. You know, making the rich get richer. You know what I'm saying?
So, yeah.
But, yeah. I mean, they're trying to change. I mean, look, Josh Harris ain't messing around, man. I mean, early in the day, he didn't flip James Harden. And then
he ain't messing. No, I don't blame him. It's wild. You know what I mean? Like, I don't blame Josh Harris. Because I do feel like because you're 3-5, you lost some bad games.
Yeah.
Your mindset is like, okay, this team ain't good. So, I'm thinking like, all right, these two are free agents at the end of the year. And so, all right. Let me see what I can get for him. I get it. Like, I'm not as for him, I get it. I'm just mad that they're 3-5. And the reason they're 3-5 is because of piss poor coaching. That's why I'm mad at.
Thank you.
That's why I'm mad. I'm mad that the players have to suffer because they have to be traded because not because of their play, it's because of piss poor coaching. That's what I'm saying. Like, so you got rid of the players before the dude and his regime that caused the situation.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like that. I mean, I don't like what it represents. I guess that's my thing.
Ron Rivera's got to go. He's got to go. I mean, Del Rio should have been gone.
Yes.
I mean, look how many points we're giving up every game, man.
EB,
I like EB. I think that you definitely see if he could be that guy at head coach.
Yeah.
The only issues I have with EB is he's got to get a run game more, man. Yeah, he's got to get more touches, Brian Robinson. I mean, think about it, man. Against the Eagles. We're tied 24-24, man. 7 minutes left. You got to drain that clock.
Oh, I agree.
To throw the ball that early, and especially also the other time was on our own 1-yard line. Ain't throwing the ball, man. I'm running that ball. He's got to learn to trust Brian Robinson more. But, a lot of people going in on EB, and I'm like, come on, man. You know, he's – Scott Turner, really?
That's what bothers me. It's like we live – God, like what did you expect? Like, I guess I get annoyed is like, y'all thought we was going to score like 33 points a game? Like, bro, we are better than we were last. Dude, we're doing this with a rookie quarterback, in essence. We scored more times than, like, we hit 30 all year last year with under Scott Turner. Dude, we've hit 30 like 3 times already this season.
Yeah.
Like, we've scored 20 a number of times, high, like mid-20s high a number of times. We averaged more points than we did last year already. Yeah. Like, we're better in the red zone. Like, yeah, granted, we could be better on third down. And to your point, we could run the ball more. But in terms of overall offense, this has been 10 times better than what we've ever seen under Scott Turner, a Scott Turner offense. And I would say this to anybody who's listening now who are Commander fans. If before the season started, if someone had told you Washington will average over 20 points a game and they're going to average 20 points a game with a rookie quarterback, you would say to me, oh, dang, like all right, we're going to be all right.
Oh, yeah.
Compared to what you had but compared to what you had in prior years, you're going to say we may be 6-2, 6-2, 5-3 because the defense is supposed to rock. The issue has never been to me, other than the Giants game, right? Other than the Giants game, that's the one that it rubs everybody the wrong way.
Yeah.
Other than the Giants game, the issue has been the defense, and that's the thing that bothers me. So it's never been EB. That's why I'm like, EB took a unit and has improved that unit.
Yeah.
Again, with a rookie quarterback.
Yeah.
Now all y'all see Sam Howell. I'm like, oh, he could be good. Like, we didn't know. Now this dude is throwing for multiple yardage, 300-yard games.
Yeah.
He's throwing for like 3-4 touchdowns in a game. Like, this is the tutelage of EB. So it's like, yo, the only unit has shown progression, in my opinion, from year last year to this year, it's been the offense.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, why is that, EB? So okay, make him the coach. He's shown he's done something.
Well, I mean, the problem too, man, before we roll, man, is
yeah.
It's Ron Rivera, the GM. I mean, let all these pieces on the O-line leave year after year.
Yeah.
I mean, look, you best believe they need to spend a couple of picks and maybe go into the free agency / trade market and try to build this line, man, because the O-line, and gifted the last game against Eagles, they actually looked solid.
They did.
But, I mean, when you're approaching David Carr's record, man, that kind of tells you where you're at, you know?
Yeah.
So they got to solidify this line, man, because, look, every great team, where's the start? In the trenches.
Yeah,
you got to build your lineup, man, so –
No, I agree. I mean, they were stubborn. They finally made adjustments to the O-line, added Larson as a center, and had Chris Paul at guard. I mean, everybody could have told you Nick Gates was trash, but it is. All right, man. Thanks, Brandon, man. Appreciate you, my man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right, man. Take it easy. I'm going to try to get you back on again, man. Maybe I'll get you on to talk Commanders.
Absolutely.
Let All right, know. Man. All right, boss.
All right, man.
All right, man. It's Brandon Scott from Locked On Wizards podcast. Make sure you check him out. Appreciate y'all for tuning in. This has been a good show. Appreciate my man Bree. Appreciate my man Lake for being on. My man Brandon for being on. Anyway, hey, make sure you subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and Google Podcasts. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also follow us on X at Urban Sports Scene, IG at Urban Sports Scene, and like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Make sure you subscribe to the Urban Sports Scene YouTube channel as well. Check out the home of the Urban Sports Scene, Ampire Media at amppiremedia.com. And this show can be found on the Podcast DC app. Download the Podcast DC app to hear all of the Amplifier shows as well as other great content. Anyway, thank you all for tuning in. I've been struggling with this cold, but I made it through. Appreciate you all. Anyway, you've been listening to the Urban Spot Sing for Aegis. Yiddig, deuces, A-Mega. Lead us out big, homie.